Hello, buckaroos and buckarettes. Welcome to another edition of Under Western Stars. I'm your host, Tony Norris, and I have been out in the world of medical challenges for about 5 months. I am back home. We're back on the air. This is our first new show in a few months, and I'm excited to have an old friend and guest here, Mr. Bill Verneau. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Tony. Good to see you looking so chipper.
Oh, boy, I am chipper. As you've noticed, winter's coming on. We got our first little snowstorm, and there was not a lot of accumulation, but it got white and it was beautiful as it was falling down through the trees. Are you ready?
To my fence building project. I got posts in right before it. I got all but one post set right before the storm hit. So still got to get more work done before the winter comes in.
And of course, we're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving, and we get to sit down with in-laws and outlaws and share a nice meal.
It's a nice time of year.
Yes, it is. Bill, what are you going to start us off with here today?
I'm going to do a song I learned a long time ago. It was written by actually Woody Paul of the Riders in the Sky, and it's called The Cowboy Song. Daddy was a cowboy, he rode those western plains. My mama was a wandering rose, the west wind knew her name. I was raised on the rolling prairie, where the buffalo once roamed, with the western sky and the coyote's cry. The saddle was my home, whoopee-tie-i-o, whoopee-tie-i-e. When I was a young man, I was the best cowpoke around. I could ride, I could rope, I could wrestle them steers to the ground. With my silver spurs just a jangling and my six gun by my side, I saddled my pony to the cowboy's dream and the lonesome trails we would ride. Whoopee-tie-i-o, whoopee-tie-i-e. When it came to the ladies, well, I reckon I had my share. I would ride into town and lordy how they would stare. Yes, the women just seemed to love a cowboy, but they never could stake the claim. For a cowboy's a lot like a young buck stallion, his heart is hard to tame. Whoopee-tie-i-o, whoopee-tie-i-e. Man, and the trails I ride are paved. And there are towns all over where the longhorn cow once grazed. Yes, the roundup days are over, but my cowboy dreams aren't gone. I'll turn my eye to the western sky, sing my cowboy song. Whoopee-tie-i-o, whoopee-tie-i-e.
good old Woody Paul. Do I understand correctly that he's a plasma physicist?
Yes, he's got a PhD, I believe, from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And he's also the king of the cowboy fiddlers.
What a full career he has had. Well, I'm loath to turn loose of the autumn. It's been so nice. And I brought in a Cherokee tomato plant in a 5-gallon bucket. And the thing's about 5 foot tall, and it's loaded with fruit. And I've been getting ripe Cherokee purple tomatoes off of it, and they're just sweet as a peach. They're so good.
Beautiful tomatoes this time of year.
Yeah, maybe they'll just do that all winter long.
With any luck.
Well, what you got there? You got any poems for us today?
I'm going to do a poem by Bruce Kaskaden. I actually learned this from you because you used to do this all the time in our cowboy campfire shows. And it's a great poem for the time of year. And it's called When They Finish Shipping Cattle in the Fall. Though you're not exactly blue, yet you don't feel like you do in the winter or the long hot summer days. For your feelings and the weather seem to sort of go together. And you're quiet in the dreamy autumn haze. And the last big steer is goaded down the chutes and safely loaded. And the summer crew has ceased to hit the ball. It's when a fellow starts a dragon to the home ranch with the wagon when they finish shipping cattle in the fall. Only two men left a standin' on the job for winter brandin'. And your partner, he's a loafin' by your side. With a brand new saddle creakin' and you never hear him speakin'. And you feel it's going to be a quiet ride. But you savvy one another, for you know him like a brother. He is friendly, but he's quiet, that is all. For he's thinking while he's dragging to the home ranch with the wagon when they finish shipping cattle in the fall. And the saddle hoss is stringing at an easy walk, a-swinging in behind the old chuck wagon moving slow. They are weary, gaunt, and jaded. Through the muck and brush they've waded, and they've settled down to business long ago. Not a hoss is feeling sporty, not a hoss is acting snorty. In the spring, them brutes is full of buck and brawl. But now they're gentle when they're dragging to the home ranch with the wagon when they finish shipping cattle in the fall. And the old cook leads the retreat. Perched up high upon his wagon seat, with his hat pulled way down forward on his head. He used to make that old team hustle. Now he hardly moves a muscle. And a feller might imagine that he's dead. Except his old corn cob pipe smoking, and he lets the team go poking, hitting all the humps and hollers in the road. No, the cook has not been drinking, he's just sitting there and thinking about the places and the people that he knowed. And you watch the dust a-trailin', and two little clouds a-sailin', and a big mirage like lakes and timber tall. And you're lonesome when you're dragging to the home ranch with the wagon when they finish shipping cattle in the fall. And when you make your camp that night, though the fire's burning bright, yet nobody seems to have a lot to say. In the spring you sung and hollered, now you get your supper swallowed, and you crawl under your blankets right away. Then you watch the stars a-shining up there in that soft blue lining, and you sniff the frosty night air clear and cool. You can hear the night hawk shifting, and your memory starts drifting to the little village where you went to school. With its narrow gravel streets, and the kids you used to meet, and the commons where you used to play baseball. Now you're far away and dragging to the home ranch with the wagon when they've finished shipping cattle in the fall. And your schoolboy sweetheart, too, with her eyes of honest blue, best performer in the old home talent show. You were nothing but a kid, but you liked her, sure you did. Lord, but that was over 30 years ago. Then your memory starts to roam from old Mexico to Nome, from the Rio Grande to the Powder River. Of the things you seen and done, some of them was lots of fun, and a lot of other things they'd make you shiver. About that boy by name of Reed that got killed in that stampede. It was way up north. You helped him dig his grave, and your old friend Jim, the boss, that got tangled with the hoss, and the fellers couldn't reach in time to save. He was there when Ed got his'n, kid that killed him still in prison. And old Lucky George, he's rich and living high. Poor old Tom, he got off worse, got his leg broke, died of thirst. Lord, but that must be an awful way to die. And then them winters at the ranches and the old-time country dances, everybody there was sociable and gay. You used to lead them down the middle just to prance into the fiddle. Never thought of going home till break of day. Nah, there ain't no chance for sleeping when those memories come creeping. And sometimes you think you hear the voices call when a feller starts a dragging to the home ranch with the wagon when they finish shipping cattle in the fall.
Bruce Kiskaden, always one of my favorites. He had such a gift. Well, there's a song that I like real well that you play sometimes about the Double Diamond Ranch.
It's another one I learned from you, Tony.
Well, all the best songs come from me, Bill.
This is a song by Gary McMahon. I think Ian Tyson and Chris LeDoux have recorded it. And actually, I just heard the other day that there's been over 100 recordings made of this song.
Seriously?
Double Diamond lay out east of Du Bois in the land of the buffalo. The auctioneer's gavel rapped and it rattled as I watched the old Double Diamond go. Won't you listen to the wind? Mother Nature's violin. When I first hired on to the old Double Diamond, I was a damn poor excuse for a man. I never learned how to aim while my spirit was tame. I couldn't see all the cards in my hand. But the wind whipped the granite above me and blew the tumbleweeds clean through my soul. I fought her winners, I busted her horses, took more than I thought I could stand. But the battles with the mountain and cattle seemed to bring out the best in a man. I guess a sailor, he needs an ocean and a mama, her babies to hold. leave the plains of Wyoming in the land of the buffalo. So she's selling out, I'm moving on, but I'm leaving with more than I came. See, I got this saddle, it ain't for sale. I got this song to sing. I got a new range to ride and new knots to tie in a country where cowboys are king. Turned her tails to the wind, and the old double diamond disappeared into the sage.
Que bueno. Did you have another poem for us, Bill?
Sure. I'm going to do a poem by Henry Herbert Nibbs called Where the Ponies Come to Drink.
Up in northern Arizona, there's a ranger trail that passes through a mesa like a fairy lake with pines upon its brink. And across the trail, a stream runs all but hidden in the grasses, till it finds an emerald hollow where the ponies come to drink. Out they fling across the mesa, wind-blown manes and forelocks dancing, blacks and sorrels, bays and pintos, wild as eagles, eyes agleam, and from their hooves the silver flashes, burning beads and arrows glancing through the bunch grass and the grama as they cross the little stream. Well, down they swing as if pretending in their orderly disorder that they've stopped to hold a powwow, just a rally for the charge that will take them close to sunset 20 miles across the border. Then the leader sniffs and drinks with forefeet planted on the marge. One by one each head is lowered till some yearling nips another. And then the playful interruption starts an eddy in the band. Snorting, squealing, plunging, wheeling round, they circle in the smother of the muddy spray, nor pause until they find a firmer land. My old cowhorse, he runs with them. Turned him loose for good last season. 18 years hard work his record, and he's earned his little rest. And he's taken it by playing, acting proud, and with good reason. Though he's searched a little forward, he can fan it with the best. Once I called him, almost caught him, when he heard my spur change jingle. And then he eyed me some reproachful, as if making up his mind, seemed to say, well, if I have to, but you know I'm living single. So I laughed, and just a minute he was pretty hard to find. Some folks wouldn't understand it, writing lines about a pony. For a cowhorse is a cowhorse, nothing else, most people think. But for 18 years, your partner, wise and faithful, such a crony seems worth watching for a spell, out where the ponies come to drink.
Oh, I love that poem. Just transports me. Well, let's see. What you got left?
A poem by Sonny Hancock talks about really nice, picturesque fall weather. It's called A Bear Tale. You know, I was up in the Sycam Black Hills camp working for the old Z-Cross. This is my own piece of country. I was cook and crew and boss. The afternoon of that year was coming on, as I recall, meaning summer had hit the cap rock and slid right down into fall. Days was warm and pleasant, though the nights was kind of sharp,
I had a nice snug little cabin to keep the cold wind off my tarp. Aspen leaves was turning yellow, bees was buzzing round the hives. Just one of them kind of days when it was great to be alive. So I'm jogging along that morning, looking out beneath my hat, and I thought I'd take a little circle down towards Silver Dollar Flat, maybe brand some big slick yearling with the address of this farm, because I sure did need to limber up my old stiff roping arm. You know, I'd been kind of traveling down this little open draw, and I come around a corner, and I was shocked at what I saw. I just pulled up there a-gawking, and my eyes went plumb agog. There's this big old brindle he-bear digging ants out of a log. My heart commenced to pound, and I couldn't get no air. I knew I'd never have a better chance to rope myself a bear. So I'm trying to jerk my rope down, and my horse began to dance, and heck, old Bruin, he ain't heard me. He's still busy digging ants. I got my rope tied hard and solid, and I built that loop with care. I gave out a cowboy war whoop, and I hit right to the bear. Well, this old beast, he heard me coming, and he beat it for the trees. There weren't no moss a-growing on him, and he sure did split the breeze. But I just pulled right in behind him, and like that Bible story told, I cast my bread upon the water, and it came back a thousandfold. Well, I pitched the slack right at him, and I turned my pony neat, and I heard him grunt as he hit the ground as I jerked him off his feet. Then I towed him toward the timber, just the way it should be done. Heck, there was nothing to it. Roping bears was lots of fun. Now in the timber, I got busy dodging limbs and brush and such, and I ain't had time to check up on my cargo all that much. Well, I'm going to start by breaking him to lead. At least that's what I'm hoping. But I look back, and here that bear came. Just like that, right up my rope. And things sure started looking different, so I tells him, "Okay, Bruin, I'll start paying more attention to this little job I'm doing. I'll just zig and zag and circle some, and you just follow me, because I'm about to bash your brains out on some old big jack pine tree." So I zigged and zagged and circled, but it seemed to no avail. Next time I checked, old Teddy's right on my horse's tail. About that time, my old pony made a funny little jump, and that old bear commenced to climbing up that rope right across his rump. I yelled and squalled and hollered, and I slapped him with my hat, but that old bear's plumb determined he's going to get up where I'm at. You know, I've known a lot of fellers in the hills and on the plains, and nobody ever told me I was overblessed with brains. But it didn't take no Einstein with no special high IQ nor no call from God to tell me what that bear was going to do. I know a coward's way out is a bad one in most anybody's book. But that's the only route left open, so that's the one I took. I just bailed out and checked it to him, and a big rock broke my fall. "Old boy," I says, "it looks like you just bought it all." And they went crashing through the timber. Well, I realized, of course, that I just lost a real good saddle, and the company just lost a horse. How's a man supposed to tell it with the boss standing there? You just took a plumb good horse and saddle and just gove him to a bear. You know, these thoughts and more like them was running through my mind as I went limping down that cow trail trying to leave that wreck behind. My clothes was sort of tattered and I'd lost some chunks of hide, but my body wasn't hurting near as much as was my pride. Then I heard a noise behind me, and the sound began to swell back the way I'd just come from, and I wondered, what the hell? And I see my horse a-coming, stepping lively down the slope. That old bear's up in my saddle, got a loop built, swinging my rope.
My all-time favorite line, "A big rock broke my fall."
That's a good one.
When evening chores are over in our ranch house on the plains, to do is lay around. I'll saddle up my pony and go riding down the trail. Watch that evening sun go down. Riding down the canyon to watch the sun go down. A picture that no artist e'er can paint. White-faced cattle lowing on the mountainside. Hear a coyote whining for his mate. Cactus plants are blooming, the sagebrush everywhere, granite spires standing all around. I tell you, folks, it's heaven to be riding down the trail when the desert sun goes down.
You've just listened to another episode of Under Western Stars. Bill Vernu was our guest today, reciting poems and singing songs. Matt Sarnowski is on the engineer board once again today. I'm your host, Tony Norris. It's such a pleasure to be back on the airwaves again. So stick around, and next time we'll have another story from the old home ranch at Doney Park on Under Western Stars.